shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Here as Jesus teaches on prayer from the book of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask it, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a steak instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God.
For the people of God. Barry. I'm not going to mess you up, Emily, wherever you are. I promise. Just hit this right here. All right. Good morning, everybody. So last Sunday, we finished the series Kingdom Come, where we have learned about this upside-down nature of the kingdom and how it is so much different than the world that we live in. Well, today, we begin a new series where over the next 8 weeks, we are going to see how these two kingdoms, God's and the world we live in, clash. So, several of you are like me, and you've been here at Greenwood for a long time, maybe even since the beginning. And if this is you, you're going to remember how this house that sits here on our drive on the way out how it used to be real cluttered, and that's putting it very nicely. How, you know, they had all this stuff set out in the yard, how they had the garden that was overgrown every year, and how they had that big yellow school bus parked right out back here. And so now follow me for a minute, because I want you to think about some of the biggest holidays that we celebrate here at the church, where we get all dressed up. I mean, I may actually wear a dress, or maybe just not jeans. But, you know, those special Sundays where we bring our family in, and or maybe we go home and we visit our church with our family there. Easter and Christmas are some of the two that come to mind. But then there's also Mother's Day, which I don't know if Mother's Day is a Christian holiday or not, but I know that we tend to sort of like it, make it special here at the church. So I want you to imagine coming to church on this special day. When you're all dressed up, you may even have your extended family with you, and where if you are a mom, this is the one day that is supposed to be all about you, or at least we hope it is. And you roll into church this morning, and you see that big yellow bus. And just for you, on this special occasion, this bus has a message written on it. Now, this message, it's not the kind of message that we would want anyone to see. Here at the church, we want to say, bless you. But this message was the complete opposite, literally. It was like a big yellow billboard that was shouting the absolute worst message that it could possibly shout for anyone, period. Much less those who were coming to church on such a special day. So you can imagine what Pastor Adam thought that morning when he rolled in and sees this message written on all these windows. A special day with a not-so-special message. When the world that we live in comes face-to-face with this kingdom that we're invited to participate in. Who doesn't experience this tension? Not just out there in the big scary world, but even in our own hearts and lives. As we make decisions every day, we have to decide, am I going to bless or am I going to curse? As we experience this clash of kingdoms, we have to ask ourselves, am I doing this out of God's healing in my life or am I doing this out of my own hurts? Am I cooperating with God's grace or am I trying to set my own agenda? We sense this clash of kingdoms within our own values. It's what I hold important and live by in keeping with what God says is important. Am I acting out of this upside-down nature of the kingdom discerned through prayer and scripture and community? Or am I taking my cues from television, social media, politics, or the wider culture in general? Today, and for the next several weeks, as we hear the word temptation, there's probably a three-letter word that may come to mind. But we sense this clash at the root of all of our desires. Temptation is about these two kingdoms in which one we want to be a part of, the one that blesses or the one that curses. And choosing rightly is not as easy as it sounds. There will be moments in the future that we all have to decide that will test us all. And so, not surprisingly, Jesus, he taught us to prepare for this. He taught us to be ready for this clash of kingdoms as we go along in life. And most of all, he taught us to pray about it. So far this year, we have been in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. We like to call it the Lord's Prayer. Some people call it this model prayer. But this prayer, it has three petitions in it. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you think about it, these requests, they cover basically all of life. Daily bread is about more than just bread. It is a request that represents trusting God for the provision needed for today. The part of the prayer teaches us to look to God for what is needed to live well in the moment. Forgive us of our trespasses is the second request, and it deals with the past. It is a prayer to work through what is behind us for restoration for the things that we have done to others, as well as what others have done to us. It's the part of the prayer that helps us to remember the constant need for God's healing and forgiveness from past hurts. And then the third request, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's about the future. This is where we will be spending the majority of our weeks or our focus in the coming weeks. We are praying, God, help me ahead of time. Get me ready for what might be coming. Lead us not into temptation may be one of the hardest parts of this entire prayer to understand or translate, because sometimes we want to think that it's saying that, well, God tempts us. But that's not the case. We read in James, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us a birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. God does not tempt us. Another reason that this can be hard for us is because those trials, those temptations, those struggles, they can teach us. Just as we can read in another passage in James where it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Pope Francis recently suggested changing our translation of the Lord's Prayer to help clear this up. He says, it is not that he pushes me into temptation and then sees how I fall. A father does not do this. A father quickly helps those who are provoked into Satan's temptation. The Pope suggested that we change it to where it says this, do not let us enter into temptation. The assumption of the prayer is that we are going to encounter this tension, this temptation, this clash of kingdoms, that God is not putting us on trial, but life is going to put us to the test. In this, we are going to need God's help. We are going to have to learn how to rely on him. The other assumption is that whether or not we actually will resist the temptation, that it matters how ordinary people like you and me navigate this clash of kingdoms, that we are actually God's children of great value and great potential. We are the people who need to be ready, and not only for when this temptation comes, but to be the leaders and the witnesses and the disciples. Temptation is always about luring us away from who we really are, about forgetting our identity, about rejecting our high calling, about failing to see our God-given purpose and potential. When Jesus taught us to pray about temptation, it isn't because he thinks that we're bad people and that we keep messing up. It's that we are a people created in the image of God, and we are called to do the things of his kingdom. When we choose to say hateful or careless things, the real issue is that we haven't accepted our calling to use words to give life and to bless. When we are tempted by money and power, the issue is that we haven't found a way to steward our lives and our resources for God and the things of his kingdom. When we are tempted to exert that power and control over people and circumstances, the tragedy is that we have missed our opportunity to live in peace and joy that comes from valuing the things of the kingdom. When we are tempted to hate, the tragedy is that we have not helped create a more loving world and that we have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. When we are tempted to divide people into two groups and reject those that are not like us, black versus white, Republican versus Democrat, rich versus poor, we're choosing to divide what God has put together. And this can cause us to lose this human potential and possibility of close-knit communities. When we are tempted to fear and anxiety, it's connected to our inability to live in the moment with gratitude for what we have and trusting that God is going to be with us and loves us no matter what. And when we are tempted to curse instead of bless, it means that we have acquiesced, we have yielded, we have rejected or given up on who we really are and why we are here. And this may be the first and most basic temptation of all, to give up on ourselves before we start, to recognize that we have power and potential, to say that this will never change, or I will never change, or I am not who God says I am. But the good news is that Jesus knew this struggle, and he was ready for it. For in Hebrews we read, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Throughout the next several weeks, as we explore the stories of the Bible of how Jesus was tempted, we will learn how Jesus went to the desert to fast for 40 days at the beginning of his ministry. And at the end of that 40 days, Luke and Matthew, they tell us how he was tempted by the devil to turn stones into bread rather than trust God to provide, to do something sensational rather than to serve humbly, to claim power rather than to trust God's power. Jesus' ministry begins and ends with temptation, starting in the desert and ending on the cross. He lived the prayer that he taught us. He teaches us to not give up. We are not tempted because we are weak. We are tempted because we are strong. We are not tempted to do things that we cannot do. You are only tempted to do things that are within your power. And many of the temptations that we have are choices between what we perceive to be two good options. And practically speaking, we can easily be tempted to do things that make us feel better. I mean, I'm not tempted to do things that make me feel bad, but oh, I can do this, and I'm going to feel great. This will make me feel better. This will make me look better or sound better or smarter. All the things that the world is telling us that we need or we should want. But a lot of times, it's at the expense of someone else or our very own souls. Think about the things that you've been tempted to do. If you're like me, it's never just once. That would be too easy because I can say no one time, at least most of the time. But it's the things that come up over and over and over again, this constant nagging, this constant tempting that gets me into trouble. And think about the things that we're addicted to. People in the church, people outside of the church. Smoking, drinking, porn, technology, drugs, shopping, success. And even when you stop, if you can, for every day, for a very, very, very long time, you have the desire to go back. You're tempted to smoke just one more time, to go online just one more time, to work those extra hours just one more time, to make that decision that you know that's going to hurt others, even though it's going to help you, just one more time. And every day, multiple times a day, you have to make the choice to not do it. It's hard. It's very hard. But it can be done, and it's worth it. But we need help. Jesus was tempted, and he taught us to not give up. But not just that. The Bible refers to Jesus' trials as the grounds of our trust in him. Jesus knew we would need help, and so he lived and died to help us. He told us to pray, lead us not into temptation, not just once, not just a few times, but over and over and over again. As I mentioned, a life of overcoming temptation is not a one-time, you get one shot, pass or fail thing. It's just the opposite. We need help, and it involves us asking and asking and asking. Just last month, a friend of mine, she challenged me to a 28-day prayer challenge. Now, if you think that just because I work at the church, I have some amazing prayer life, I hate to disappoint you on a lot of different levels, but you would be wrong. You know, but that's not why she challenged me to do this. She challenged me to do it because she herself had done it, and she realized how much it changed things. And the gist of it, if you're interested and want to do it, is that you choose 3 to 5 things, and you pray very specifically for those things every day for 28 days. She had learned the value of going to God persistently with our requests over and over again. And I can say that I'm on day 24. And I think it has been a huge blessing to me. It has helped me to go to prayer more often, but also to be really specific in the things that I'm asking. It has allowed me to see God working in them, even if just a glimpse. Jesus said that we should pray trusting that God wants to give us good things. Like in the passage from the day where a father would clearly give his son a fish rather than a snake. an egg rather than a scorpion. He says that we should pray persistently, like a man beating on the door of his neighbor in the middle of the night. This man who knows that his neighbor has what he needs. And even though the neighbor clearly doesn't want to, eventually he's going to get up to help his friend. Not because of his goodness, but because of his neighbor's shameless audacity, because of his persistence. In both instances, Jesus makes the same point. If people who are human or even corrupt will do the right thing, then how much more will God be faithful to those who ask? And so we keep coming to God, to prayer, to hope, to faith, to persistent seeking, to the possibility that God is for us and that there is help for those who simply ask, help me be ready. Let us pray. God, we thank you for all that you do for us. We thank you for this reminder of this prayer that we've prayed over and over again for the past couple months, Lord, that you are with us, that you will help provide what we need for today, that you will help in healing us and help restoring the things that have done to us and that we've done to those in the past, and that, God, that you will be with us as we face these trials and these temptations that we know are coming. God, we stand here today and we just ask, help us be ready. We love you, Lord, and we thank you, and it is in your Son's name that we